So 1 Kings 19 is one of those passages that I would call like a heart passage for me. I don't know if you guys have got like, not just passages that mean something to you, but really that they stick with you, like almost you can't shake them. They kind of shape your life and they're there through your whole life. And 1 Kings 19 has become a heart passage for me. So it comes from a personal place and it comes from a I'm not feeling very well place. And as you'll see, as we read 1 Kings 19, you know, Elijah that we're going to read about, he can relate. And I expect you can relate. Let's read the first kind of 8 verses or so. First 9 verses of 1 Kings 19. So, a little bit of context. Elijah's just had literally a mountaintop experience with God, okay? Sometimes we talk about a mountaintop experience being like the highs, like being at magnitude, or, you know, I got baptized, or, you know, that kind of big, wonderful, it's like you can see everything clearly and you're like right up here, up high with God. And Elijah's just had that. He's seen God do amazing miracles and powerful things in chapter 18. And if you don't know this story, we're not going to it just now, but you can read that later. He's coming down from the mountaintop as we hit chapter 19. Now Ahab, the king, told Jezebel, the queen, everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. These were false prophets that were leading God's people astray, right? So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid. Well, you would be, wouldn't you? Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert, right? So he's tired, he's scared, and he's now all alone. He's made himself all alone. You can imagine what that's like. So he came to a broom tree, and he sat down under it, and he prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Just take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." And then he lay down under the tree and he fell asleep. I might fall asleep actually doing this. He fell asleep. That's quite nice. So all at once an angel touched him and said, "Get up." Okay. Had a lot of this week. Get up and eat. And he looked around and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals. Oh, lovely. And that smell of warm bread. And a jar of water. He's waking up to that refreshment. So he ate and he drank. And then he lay down again. I'm not going to do it again because my back won't cope. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and he ate and he drank, and strengthened by that food, he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights, long travel, until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night. Okay. So, do you ever get asked by people, maybe including me, how's your quiet times? How's your kind of times of reading the Bible and prayer? So get quite a common question in church circles. How's your time with the Lord going? You know? And people seem to ask that a lot. And we're talking here about those habits, ideally daily habits, of praying to God, taking time to pray to God and to read the Bible, to read the Word of God. And, you know, your honest answer to that might be, well, they're kind of sporadic, not really every day, not really every week. Or they're kind of rushed when I do the, get that done, I've got to do my Bible before I get out the door. Maybe a bit sleepy, maybe like, I read my Bible, but I just fall asleep while I'm reading it. And I start with, "Dear God," and then the next thing you know, it's the morning. So yeah, that can be how it is. Or for you, maybe you're like, "No, it's fine. I have got a daily honed habit of spending time with God in the Bible and praying to Him." Well, wherever you are now, folks, my conviction is that God is calling us to a deeper, truer encounter with Him in the quiet place with Him, right? Whether you're smashing your quiet times or you're like, only have one every month and I fall asleep every time. God is calling each of us, I'm sure, to a deeper and truer encounter with him in the quiet place with him. That's what I believe he wants us to hear as a church just now. So we're going to do this guided prayer journey to begin that. And the first thing is to start where you are. Where are you? Don't pretend you're anywhere other than you are. Okay? Elijah says, this is one of the most famous prophets in the Old Testament, like, you know, hero of the faith. And Elijah's answer is, I'm done. Like, I just want to die. I've had enough. I'm rubbish. Like, I'm no better than any of these people that went before me. That's how he feels. That's where he is. Just start from where you are is the first thing. Don't pretend to be anywhere else. And that place of being just done, when you come to God in prayer, that can come because of several things. It can come because of trauma. A number of you have been through recent trauma and grief. And it would not be a surprise if you're like, I'm just done. I'm just done. You know what? I've had enough. And you're not having your best encounters and your most rich prayer times at the moment, right? Elijah's also faced trauma and grief. Like, really traumatic experience to be told by the queen and the king, we're coming to kill you. Right? So you can feel like I'm done when there's trauma happening. You can also feel like I'm done through apparently the normal busyness of life. We live in a crazy world. It's absolutely crazy what is expected of us on this treadmill of go, go, go in this life that we are living. And it would not be a surprise if you're like, I'm just done. I remember a teenage girl that we worked with maybe 10, 15 years ago, and I remember her saying to us at this kind of youth thing we were doing, I just want to get off the roundabout for a minute. I just want to stop the roundabout and just get off. Just for a minute. She was exhausted with just the things of being a teenager and just how crazy it was to have to keep up with it. And guys, that is getting worse. If you're like young people today, right, it is crazy what they have to deal with. So it can just be the normal busyness of life that leads you to, I'm done. It can also be, I have had the best time. I went to Magnitude, it was amazing, it was the best week of my life. I heard that a couple of times. You're coming down from the mountaintop to this other place that's not that. And for some reason, and you can't explain why, you're like, I just feel like I'm done. I've had enough. It's quite normal to come down off the mountaintop and feel like Elijah feels. I am done. You're physically exhausted. You're spiritually exhausted. You're emotionally exhausted. And all of that leads to this kind of I'm done. Well, this is what God does with us when you are there, guys. He says, just have a nap. Just go to sleep. You don't have to try and bring lots of words to me just now. It is literally, give me the next slide, Callum. God's kind of prescription for us is this: sleep, touch, eat, repeat. Sleep, touch, eat, repeat. When you are just done, it's okay to sleep. Maybe some of us just need just now is just to go to sleep. You've just fallen asleep in your quiet time. You're like, it's only like 3 in the afternoon. Why is this happening? Well, you're exhausted. So just have a nap. Just get refreshed. Just get yourself well again. Just sleep. God does not push anything with Elijah until he is rested up and ready. I remember Marion saying to me when our kids were very young, like, don't worry that you're not having your best prayer times just now. That season of life will come. It's okay. But you're just exhausted at the moment. So just sleep and relax a bit. Good advice. My prayer times are better now, apart from this week. They're rubbish because I'm not feeling very well. So I just have been sleeping a lot. I've just slept a lot, and that's okay. You don't have to go, oh, the rubbish quiet time. Just sleep, rest up. And God deals with us with this physical care. I want you to sleep, I want you to eat well, I want you to get exercise. You know, I want you to get counseling. If you need counseling, get counseling. I want you to do your grieving. Move through the process of grief. It will take time, and there's not a set time on that. Just move through the grief. Move through the process. Take some time off. When's the last time you had a holiday? When's the last time you didn't fill that holiday with something that we need to do? Like, God loves you. God wants these good restorative things for you. So let's do all of that as many times as it takes until you're not falling asleep in your quiet time. Until you get to what I'm going to call later on a conscious silence. Until you can do that, then just sleep. Touch, eat, repeat. The touch is hugs. Like, the thing I didn't notice, I've known this passage deeply and lived it for years, but when Dave Richards spoke about this at Magnitude to the leaders, the thing I had missed was God brings a touch. He brings just a hug. Just some of us just need a hug. If you need a hug, just go get a hug from someone that loves you. So can I just have a hug? Like, God wants you to receive that as well. Just take what you need until you're restored. This is not so much be kind to yourself as let God be kind to you. Don't think of God as someone's like, when are you ever going to talk to me? Come on, let's have a quiet time. He wants you to be rested and restored, ready to meet with him in the quiet place, which we're going to talk about in a minute. So let's take our first kind of prayer time here. And we're going to do this prayer time, guys, and then those of you that are going to Glow and Blast are going to head out after this. So if you've got your journal, you've got your phone app, whatever you're going to note things down with, let's just pray through like this, okay? So the first thing, you might just want to close your eyes, open them if you're writing, okay? But just settle yourself before God here. This is the only kind of prayers we're doing today, is these individual prayers. Just take a breath. And come before the God who loves you. God, I'm done. Some of us, we just need to say to God, look, that's where I am, I'm done. Would you give me what I need to eat well? Would you give me what I need to sleep well? If there's anything that comes to mind that you need to write down about that stuff, do it. God, help me to let you restore me. What do you need to just let God's kindness come to you in? Stop beating yourself up and receive it. Now just turn your focus outwards to others. What do they need? God, help me to restore others in your name. Who can you refresh? How? God, thank you that you are good, and thank you that you don't need many words from us, especially when they're hard to bring. Amen. We're going to read on just now. We're going to read verses 8 to 10, just a small bit here, verses 8 to 10. So 1 Kings 19, 8 to 10. So he got up, Elijah got up, and ate and drank, and strengthened by that food, he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There, he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. What's God going to say? What are you doing here, Elijah? I wonder what tone that came with. I can't pick that up. What are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. And I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. Okay. So in those verses is a long journey. Like, I don't know about you, but you know, no Duke of Edinburgh trip that I know of takes 40 days and nights to do. 40 days and nights. This is a long journey. And remember, Elijah's already all alone. But he is taking himself deeper into an even more quiet and isolated place. Mount Horeb is Mount Sinai. It is a place famous for encounter with God. And that's maybe why Elijah's going there. He's scared. But he is going deliberately to this place of encounter with God. And it is absolutely surrounded by desert. It's very isolated. And so he takes this really deliberate journey to go to the quiet place with God. And it takes a bit of investment because it's, you know, it's a big long journey. And remember, he's been restored, he's been refreshed, so he needed to have that restoration before he could go and do this thing of going. It takes deliberate investment to go to the quiet place with God. But that's what I am calling us to, that each one of us needs to do this in our lives. And when he gets there, what's going to happen when you come to that quietness with God? Well, God speaks first and he asks a question. He says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And here in the quiet place, restored enough to be alert in God's presence, it's not the best version of himself that Elijah brings to God. It's the truest one. If you heard Louisa's testimony the other week, Louisa, you were talking about like not just bringing like what we think the Lord wants to hear from us, but just like honestly what is in us. That's real prayer. And that's what Elijah brings. He brings not the best version of himself, but the truest one. So there's no social media filters here. There's no life editing, whether physically about how you look or the words that we choose that kind of curate my life looks like this. All of that's out the window. Doesn't matter anymore. There's nowhere to hide. There is no one to impress. There's no one to spin things for. And do you know when you spend time just in your own company, it is just you alone with your thoughts. You can even lie to yourself. But you can't do that when you come to the quiet place with God. You can't even lie to yourself. This is God that you are with. The God who sees you. In Nightlife last week, we were talking about Psalm 139, that God sees us. The good, the bad, the ugly. We cannot run from that. There is nowhere we can go where God doesn't just see us just as we are. And so Elijah's answer is this. This is his real answer. He's like, "God, I've done this for you. I've been really, I've done these things for you. And they've done this to you. This lot are all against you, God. And I'm all alone. I'm the only one left," he says. That's how he feels. "I've done all this stuff for you, God. There's these things happening to you." What he really means is it's been done to me. And I'm all alone. I'm on my own. There's nobody else. That's how it feels when you're like in that place. It's raw, this chat from Elijah. It's honest. It's unfiltered. It is the good, the bad, and the ugly. And he just brings it all to God. And there is no other way to do it, folks. Like when you are awake enough to sit with the holy God, just bring the real stuff right there and then. So let me ask you these couple of things. Just pray through these things. Elijah goes to an actual physical place because that's where he really will encounter God. What is your physical place that you go to deliberately? To go to the quiet place with God. Can you picture it as I say it? I know one or two places that's where I really take some time to sit with God. When are you going to go there next? If you've got something to write, write it down. Make yourself accountable. Note it. This is when I'm going to go there. If you don't have one, you're like, "What are you talking about?" Think of a place that you think, "Do you know, I think I could go there to pray. That would be a good place for me to go." So write it down. Write it down. If you're not sure, just pray, "God, show me somewhere that I can meet with you. Just a special place that I could meet with you." Write it down. Okay, the next thing is this. The same question that God asked Elijah, he's asking you today. So take his name out of it. Put your name in it. What are you doing here? What are you doing here, Dawn? What are you doing here, Marion? What are you doing here, Amy? What are you doing here, Murray? insert your own name. God is asking you today, what are you doing here? So write down your answer, just pray it to him. Make sure it's raw, honest, unfiltered, good, bad and ugly. No one else is looking at this. This is just you and him. Now, if you need a little more time, that's okay, you're about to get some. I'm going to pause the recording for those who are listening online. We're going to take 2 minutes in here to pray silently. And we suggest you do the same thing if you're listening to this. Just pause the recording and take 2 minutes. I'll explain it first before we pause. Coming to God in silence is not actually a thing that lots of people know how to do and feel comfortable with doing. Some people can do it for hours or days of retreat, but it's good to start with just a couple of minutes. And this is something we do in some of the small groups that I'm part of. I'm going to encourage us just now to sit really still and quietly and pray. Just sit in the presence of God for 2 minutes. You don't need to bring a list of prayer requests. Just sit in his presence for 2 minutes and see if there's more that you want to write. Is there anything he's saying to you? Is there anything that's popping into mind that feels important? I need to capture that. So pause the recording. All right, let's read the next few verses, which really connect with that song we just sung. Consuming fire, fan into flame, a passion for your name. Let's read verses 11 to 14. The Lord said to Elijah, so he's got all this stuff out to God. God says, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. So he's like, Elijah, you are going to meet me. This is on. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. Actually, that should really just be translated the sound of sheer silence. And when Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face. And he went out and he stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? And he replied, be interesting to see how he changes here, doesn't it, after this encounter with God. He says, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. Word for word, the same as what he said before. But we'll get to that. The Lord was in the sound of sheer silence. The Lord is in the silence. Okay, so it's not that he is not on the mountaintop. It's not that he's not in the festival tent at magnitude when it's like hyped up to here and people are like, I'm feeling like I'm being filled with the Holy Spirit and it's buzzing and it's happening. But it's actually, that's not the place where God says, that's not the place where you're going to encounter me most. It's not the noise, it's not the festival crowd, it's not the buzz of busyness, it is not in the earth shattering or the rock splitting, it's not in the wind and the fire that we are wanting to stir up, it is in the silence. That's where you'll meet with the Lord. And if that's where the Lord is, this quiet place to go to with him, that's where we want to go, right? Because we want to be where God is. But honestly, it's not where most of us want to go, is it? It's not really. Why is that, I wonder? And how did you find your 2 minutes of silence? Did you find that restless? Like, are we going to move on and do something a little bit more productive in a minute? Did you find that, oh, it's not enough. I could sit here for half an hour and let all the stuff out to God.
Was it scary
to be quiet for a minute?
I think it's scary. I think a lot of people are scared of silence. I'm talking here about conscious silence. Set aside, no distractions, purposeful, private, and alert. Right? So not exhausted and falling asleep, because we've restored from that. But I'm sitting here quietly and I am fully aware. Conscious silence. And I want to say, I think most of us are afraid of that kind of silence. We will fill our time with anything else but that. We will fill it with distraction. We'll fill it with entertainment. We'll fill it with noise. We'll put music on in the background. We'll fill it with, I'll just get something else to eat, just to check what's in the fridge. We'll fill it with drink. Plenty of people fill it with drink to avoid just sitting in the silence with their thoughts. We will fill it with anything until we are exhausted enough to sleep through the rest of the silence, because we don't want to sit still and silently. Anything but conscious silence. Why? Why is that? This is not a personality thing. This is not, well, some people like to get some time to themselves. I am one of them. I do like my time to myself. And some people are like, that's not really me. I just like to be, you know, on the go and doing stuff all the time. And like the buzz of being around people. That's great. Introverts, extroverts, blah, 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 whatever. This is not that. Because the Lord is in the silence. So we want to go there, right? We all need to go there, right? If that is where he is. So why aren't we going there? I'll tell you why I think it is. I think it's because we're scared of what we will see when we're in there. We dare not open the door to all that, because what if all of the fear, what if all of the trauma, what if all of the pain, what if all of the questions, what if all of the doubts, what if all of the heartache, what if all of the shame, what if all of the ugliness comes out there? Why not rather just keep the lid on all that? In the silence, here's what people find. They find, I am competent, but scarily judgmental and impatient with it. And proud. They find, I'm holding it all together, but I am terrified that there is a crack underneath that I don't want to look at. They find, I am not what I was. Hallelujah, I am changed. But what if the old me returns? They find, I am believing in Jesus. But what, I've got doubts. What if my silence gives them oxygen? So we're scared. We're scared of what's going to come up if we let it, if we just sit still and be quiet. But the Lord is in the silence. And we are his people. So when we go to the quiet place, we're not going alone to be alone with our thoughts. I was listening to a podcast, and Susie McCabe, the comedian, she was like talking about listening to other people's thoughts. She said, I don't even want to sit alone with my own thoughts, never mind listening to anybody else's. People are scared of being alone with their own thoughts. But we are God's people, so when we're in the silence, we're not alone. Elijah was wrong. Because the Lord is always with us, and the Lord is in the silence. So we will not be alone with our thoughts, and we don't need to be terrified of our thought life. Because God's right there. He's here with us. But we're still scared. Why are we still scared? Because we're encountering this holy, awesome, pure, and perfect God. And we're like this. We've got all this, all of this shame and guilt and doubt and fear and all of this stuff. Can we really bring that to this holy and awesome God? That's why Elijah's covering with his veil like this, going out into the presence of God. So Elijah feels like this, and he comes with reverence and with awe, but he does come with confidence because God invited him. And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you can come with confidence to the quiet place in the presence of the holy God because Jesus invited you. He gave you access, full access to a Father who loves you, who wants to restore you, who wants to know all of your thoughts, good, bad, and ugly, and says, it is okay, bring it all, because Jesus died for all of the stuff that you are scared of. It's dealt with. So you can sit at peace with God right now, today, in this silence. But we're still scared. I'll tell you why I'm still scared. This is my thing. Is even if I get through all of that stuff, and I've told you this before, I'm scared of the silence because of what God might say to me in the silence. What will God ask of me? What will he do to me? How will he change things? What will he say, that needs to go? I don't want to let that go. How will he change me? Like, I'm all right with me? Do I want to be different? And I'm scared of that stuff when I forget that God is good. And that everything that God ever brings to me in the silence, in that quiet place, the place of transformation, is always good. It is always for the best. When I remember that, I can open myself up to him. I can go, okay, let's bring it, God. What have you got? So this is why the silence, the quiet place with God matters, folks. It matters, and I'm saying this without swearing, I mean this. For God's sake, sit still. I'm sure you've heard that plenty in your life. But I'm not a swear, I mean that. For God's sake, sit still. God wants you. He wants to be with you. It's like a dad that's like, let's hang out. Come talk to me. How's it been? How are you going? Parents know, right? Parents know. We heard that in your testimony as well. Parents always know. And like, just talk to me. Put it into words for me. God wants that. For God's sake, let's have a relationship with him where we bring it all. And we can really only do that in the quiet place with him where it's just us and dad taking a walk. So for God's sake. And because when we get transformed in that place, we enter into a place of more and more living out the purposes of God in our lives. So it is good for God when we come. For God's sake, sit still. For goodness sake, sit still. I've told you before that like this life is, as Red Hot Chili Peppers put it, this life is more than just a read-through, okay? This is not just a waiting room where we are just like, well, whatever will happen here and we'll go to heaven and it'll all be better. This life is the one in which we are becoming all we are going to be in eternity. And through our circumstances, through our mountaintops, through our valleys, through our suffering especially, Paul says in Romans. But I think especially through our encounters with God in the quiet place, we are changed to become, in ever-increasing degrees of glory, as Paul puts it, to become what we're going to be in eternity. So we don't have time to waste not going to the quiet place with God. Because we need to become all that we're going to be for eternity. So let's go meet with him in the quiet place, for goodness sake, to become all that we're going to be, okay? Finally, for others' sake, we need to do this. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, let him who cannot be alone beware of community. And let him who is not in community beware of being alone. And Ruth Haley Barton, who wrote this book, which I'm going to recommend that you buy and read this is very helpful. She says, what Bonhoeffer means by this is that if you're not, you know, with people, that's dangerous. It's dangerous for our lives. It's dangerous for our faith. But if you're someone who's like always with people and you can't sit still and be alone with God, she says that without solitude, we are dangerous in the human community and in the Christian community. We're dangerous. Why? Because we just live according to our impulses. We just do whatever is natural to us. Instead of doing what we are led by God to do. And that is dangerous. So, for others' sake, go to the place of quiet with God as well. So after this awesome encounter, God just repeats himself. You know, you're worried. I get worried about what's God going to say to me. Well, all he does is he just says again, what are you doing here, Elijah? So we have this awesome encounter with God, and then he just repeats himself. Same question again, what are you doing here, Elijah? And God patiently repeats, that's what he does. Eat some more then, if you're not restored. Sleep some more, if you're not restored. I'll ask you the question again, if we haven't quite got round to the answer yet. God will take us gently and patiently on a journey over a lifetime, so we can be confident that he's good about doing that in his good time and wisdom. What are you doing here, Elijah? The most surprising thing to me in this passage is that after this incredible encounter with God, which none of us have had something like this, Elijah repeats himself word for word to God. He seems unchanged. His heart hasn't moved. Isn't
incredible.
Have you ever put yourself out there to encounter God and to find your heart is still in the same place and been a little bit disappointed by that? So I've seen this. I've seen this year. I've seen people like on the Alpha course sticking their hands like Holy Spirit night and we're praying, come Holy Spirit. And someone's like, oh, I'm feeling filled with the Holy Spirit. And then there's these other people like, I haven't changed. Nothing's happening. Yeah? Or at Magnitude. Like these people around me are like breaking down in tears. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, yay for you. Love that for you. My heart hasn't changed. Still in the same place. What's with that? So I think the answer to this is stay in the quiet place with God. Don't try and hype things up, wind and earthquake and fire. But if we haven't yet had the change moment with God, there's nowhere else to go but to sit in the quiet place with Him until He brings the change. This takes practice. It's like a spiritual practice. Just as like you can't just ride a bike, you know, three-year-old. Go on. You can't just ride a bike as a kid. It's going to take some practice and some let's have a few goes. You actually can't ride a bike either as an adult unless you've learned to do it. So, same thing here. Just practice sitting in the quiet presence of God until it comes, until something comes. You're like, oh, okay, God's speaking now. I know what I need to do. Just stay there. Open yourself to God's questions to you and putting your answer into words. Keep coming to the quiet place and keep listening. So, let's get these next prayer questions up. Thanks, Callum. Are you scared of conscious silence? Tell God why. And you know, tell Him why, whether your answer is yes or no. Okay. Question. When you enter conscious silence, so that alert and awake, is God there with you? Are you aware of that? Okay, now I'm going to rephrase that. When you enter conscious silence, God is there with you. He just is, but are you aware of that? And now He asks you again, what are you doing here? What are you doing here, Stephen? What are you doing here, Kevin? What are you doing here, Alex? Insert your own name. Now, about the heart stuckness, have you found your heart stuck in the same place after a profound encounter with God? Was that encounter with God in the noise? Is that like an earthquake, wind, fireplace? Or was it in the sheer silence? So just to finish that, just keep coming to the Lord. Just keep listening. You just stay there until he shows you something, until he tells you something, until he changes something. You stubbornly do it. Keep coming. Okay. So there's more in this chapter, but we don't have time. We're going to come back to it next week, verses 15 to 21. There's good stuff. God does bring change, and we're going to see it next week. But let me leave you these practical things that I want to suggest you try off the back of today, okay? If you're like, I don't know how to pray, where do I even start? Take one of these, please. Try praying booklets. It's a 7-day use it and lose it thing. Use this to help you with just getting into that quiet place with God for a week. And then I've done that. I can now give this to somebody else who might find that helpful. There's loads of those there. There's one youth version, so you know, and one kids version. So, you know, take what you will of that. I can't remember if it was earlier this year or maybe last year. I had a dream where Louise McFarlane was to tell me something and I was to listen. So then I think a couple of days later, Louise was round our house to pray with Heather. And she said, I feel I've got something to tell you. And it was to give me this challenge of praying for half an hour every day for 21 days. And it was, don't bring a Bible, don't bring an agenda, just be with God for half an hour. So I was like, Louise, great you said that, because she didn't know whether she should, and you know, what's my place to say this and all that. Well, no, it's good you did, because God told me you would say something I would need to listen. And I found that really helpful. Like, you can imagine, all the things that we've talked about, the transformation, the settling, the peace, all of that. So maybe for some of you, you're like, yeah, I could do that. I could do 21 days, half an hour a day. Might be a different time each day depending on your schedule, to just be in the presence of God. I recommend it. And this Ruth Haley Barnbeck, I don't know where to put it, Invitation to Solitude and Silence, goes through Elijah's journey. I've just come across this recently, so I found it really helpful, and I would recommend this for those that are like, really want to dig into this. And finally, if you've taken a journal, keep going with it. Take that home, keep using it. If you've already got one, be using it. I've got a couple of prayer journals. This is my one from like 2019 to 23, filled up with like questions for God, questions I think God is asking me. And as I read back over, I'm like, wow, I can see that. I can see the theme. I can see what God's up to. So as you journal it, you go on the journey, you find more of what God wants to do with us. So recommend that as well. Okay, I'm going to pray. We're going to sing our final song. We're going to get some tea and coffee. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you are always ready for us to come to you. Thank you that your arms are open wide. Jesus, thank you that you made that possible. You made that certain and guaranteed. So help us as a church to welcome that invitation and to come to your open arms and just to be with you more. Would that be true for us this week, this month, this year, that we grow in just delighting in your presence in Jesus' name? All right.